Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5:30. Coming up in this bulletin, President Catherine Connolly has been visiting Donegal today. Planning on the N56 was at the top of the agenda at this morning's Glenties Municipal District meeting. Meanwhile, elected members of the Glenties Municipal District have agreed to issue a joint letter in support of retaining the Donegal-Dublin midday flight service. And action was taken on two Donegal food businesses by the Food Safety Authority last month. These stories in full plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will have the latest sports news at around 6:15. But first, President Catherine Connolly has been visiting Donegal today. She earlier opened a facility in Killybegs before attending a Donegal County Council function at the County House in Lifford. President Connolly then travelled to Letterkenny for visits to Carra House Family Resource Centre and the Donegal Travellers Project. Her visit will end tomorrow morning at Ardra Community Childcare Centre. The initial invitation to President Connolly came from Donegal County Council's Irish Language Committee. It's Cathaoirleach is Councillor Micheál Colm-McGill-Aspaig.
We had, from our Irish Language Committee, had invited the President a number of months ago, and we were very fortunate that that was accepted and that she would most definitely be coming to Donegal. Donegal, and we saw during her campaign to get elected, she actually put a massive focus on the county by coming here a good number of times, and that shows you the commitment she has in relation to her role now to the county, but also to the language.
Planning on the N56 was at the top of the agenda at this morning's Glenties Municipal District meeting. A proposal was made by Councillor Brian Carr to have the five Donegal TDs attend a council plenary meeting in a bid to thrash the issue out. This was seconded by Cathaoirleach Michael McClafferty. The root of the problem is the word intensification, the concern that more building will make the road busier, and in turn that entry and exit onto the national road would become more dangerous. Councillor Brian Carr told the meeting that he knows of couples who are denied planning permission on family-owned land.
I have two couples in my area at the moment. They both were refused planning permission on the N56, but this is an ongoing issue we have had in the area for a while now with the N56. And I put forward today a proposal that we get all the TDs, planning, and everybody into the one room to sit down and ask the question, is why is this policy sitting on the minister's desk for so long? These young couples have told me that if they don't get their planning permission granted to them, they're going to leave the country. So the two planning permissions are on grounds that their family has lived on for years. And it's the one word, intensification, that keeps coming up. So too many cars going on to the N56, but they've been going on to the N56 for years. We asked for the request to get our TDs to go and talk to the minister directly. You know, it's no reflection on the council staff that they have put the policy forward, but it's just not been looked at by the minister. So we need to get that pushed forward.
Meanwhile, Councillor Michael McClafferty called into question an article in the Sunday Independent in which Housing Minister James Brown said planning rules for one-off rural homes will be relaxed by the summer. It's understood that the new national guidelines will make it easier for people to build houses in rural areas, particularly on family land, and will apply to all local councils. Councillor Michael McClafferty said across the board there should be no grey areas.
That blocks so many of our people on our own land, farmland, and it's hampering many families. Many young people have tried to get building this last 20 years, have been unsuccessful. Many now have moved away. Some are still hanging around, hanging on just by their fingertips at the minute, trying to hope that the things will change. But I hope what Minister Dara O'Brien and Minister James Brown had the article in the Sunday's Independent, that there will be movement in the next 12 weeks or so, we hope. But I'm appealing to people today as well, Donna Marie, anybody that has either had planning, refused planning, or lost planning along the N56, didn't get it, or had pre-plannings and was advised that they wouldn't give it, that they need to start either contact myself or my five colleagues here in the Glenties MD, the six councillors here in the Glenties MD, or wherever your MD is, that is a, that that is affecting you, and also reach out to your TDs as well, that we need to get basically a campaign going forward to raise the concerns here of all these people that can't get planning in rural Donegal here in the Glenties MD in West Donegal, because I'm afraid as well, if we don't raise the issue ourselves, that I'm afraid then if there's not enough noise is made, that we may be overlooked.
Elected members of the Glenties Municipal District have agreed to issue a joint letter in support of retaining the Donegal-Dublin midday flight service. While members have previously voiced their concerns individually, the letter will now be issued collectively, bearing the signatures of all six county councillors. The Airlink remains in operation until the end of the month. Donegal Cancer Flights and Services continue to pressure the government to ensure the new PSO retains the flight. Speaking to Greg Hughes today, Eilish Doherty, Managing Director of Donegal Airport, says a meeting with the Department of Transport officials was constructive.
It was our first opportunity to engage face-to-face with them, and you know, they heard our concerns. We highlighted again the concerns that have been raised by the cancer care group and by other, you know, by other people and other airport users in relation to the proposed timetable change. We highlighted those concerns again to them, and you know, we asked for an update on where they're at in their negotiations with the airline. So we were advised that they've been engaging with the airline over the past number of weeks, and that they'll continue to do so, and that they hope to conclude that process within a week or two. Obviously then, if there's a new proposal put forward by the airline, the department officials will have to do due diligence on that and then make a recommendation to the minister on how to proceed.
What impact do you believe that this new schedule might have on passenger numbers, excluding those going to or returning for medical treatment?
The afternoon flights were the highest for tourism, so a lot of passengers making connecting flights in through Dublin Airport. The timetable allowed them to connect from early morning right up until about 11:50. So, you know, we had connections coming from the US, from Europe, from, you know, worldwide, basically, a lot from the UK. The new timetable just doesn't facilitate that. And again, on the flights out at night time, landing back into Dublin at 9:30 at night, that timetable only serves the immediate Dublin market. It doesn't serve any connecting flights.
Motorists are being urged to exercise caution due to a bad oil spill on the N56. The spill has gone through Dunfanaghy and is said to be worse towards Ayres and Chrysla. Road users are being asked to drive carefully as the roads are very slippery. Action was taken on two Donegal food businesses by the Food Safety Authority. One closure order and one prohibition order were issued in February, both of them in Letterkenny. Cameron Clark has more.
A closure order was served on Letterkenny Spiceland on the Port Road on February 9th after a number of serious breaches were noted. They included the discovery of rodent droppings on food packaging and a dead mouse under a shelving unit. The order was lifted on February 17th after action was taken to rectify the issues. Meanwhile, on February 19th, a prohibition order was served on the Good African Food Store on Old Town Road in Letterkenny, preventing it from selling a batch of honey beans from Nigeria because they were displayed for sale without adequate labelling or identification to facilitate its traceability. More details on both orders can be found on our website, highlandradio.com.
24 areas of East Donegal are set to be included in the CLAR programme. Rural and Community Development Minister Dara Cleary has announced an expansion of the programme today, following what's been described as a comprehensive review of the programme by the All Island Research Observatory in Maynooth University. The Pobl HP Deprivation Index and the CSO Urban and Rural Life in Ireland classification were used to identify areas classified as highly rural and remote, while also experiencing socio-economic disadvantage. Minister Cleary also announced that the 2026 CLAR programme, with an increased budget of €12 million, is now open for applications. Deputy Pat Cogalher says it's significant that 22% of the areas added are in Donegal, but believes the whole county should be included.
CLAR, which is Targeted Investment Programme for Rural Areas, and the whole purpose of it is to provide funding for small infrastructure projects in disadvantaged areas. So that spells out clearly that those areas are disadvantaged in national terms, and the review was carried out by Maynooth University. But I'm pleased now that areas of Donegal that have been crying out for a considerable time to be included for CLAR funding are now included. They're largely in the south and in the east of the county.
Is there an argument that says the whole of Donegal should be included in Clare, because I have no doubt that even after this announcement, we'll hear from other areas of the county, be they in Inishowen, be they in the west, be they in the south, that aren't included, with people saying, hang on a tick, how come our neighbours are in it and we are not?
That's a very difficult one to explain, and we will have to go into more detail into the review that was carried out. But there are substantial areas in the north and in the east of the county that are still not included, and I believe the time has come to include all of the county, because all of those areas are deprived and should have the same opportunity as other areas of the county.
The Minister has announced that 12 million is available for applications from Clare areas. You'd be encouraging people in Donegal to be looking at this opportunity.
All of these in Measure 1 will be dealt with by Donegal County Council, and Donegal County Council have a lot of experience. The officials there are very helpful, and I'm sure that they will have announcements in the near future.
A number of vehicles were detected travelling in excess of a 100 km per hour speed limit in Letterkenny yesterday. Gardaí caught three vehicles travelling at 150, 141 and 133 km per hour. One was also seized for having no insurance. Fixed charge penalty notices have been issued and court proceedings will now follow. Gardaí and Donegal are investigating three incidents of arson in the county over the past week. Wheelie bins were set alight in Raphoe, a fire was started in a derelict house in Milford, and a vehicle was set alight at Sapa Muff. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Gardaí are investigating a criminal damage incident at William Street, Raphoe, in the early hours of yesterday morning. At approximately 3:15, two wheelie bins at the side of a house in the area were set alight. The fire service attended the scene and extinguished the blaze, which didn't spread. On Saturday afternoon at around 3:15, Gardaí in Milford were en route to a call when they noticed smoke coming from a derelict house on Church Road. They discovered a mattress had been set alight upstairs in the house. The fire service attended the scene and extinguished the fire. Meanwhile, shortly after 2:40 on Wednesday morning last, a vehicle was discovered on fire on the R239, approximately 1 mile outside Muff on the Burnfoot Road. Fire services attended the scene, but the vehicle was totally destroyed. In all three cases, Gardaí are appealing for information and dashcam footage.
The time is 42 minutes past five. We'll be back after this short break.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GAA jersey. Find all your GAA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is 5:45. Oisin Kelly's here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Katie. We start with horse racing. The Champion Hurdle was the feature today on the opening day of the Cheltenham Festival, and has been won by the favourite. With more details, here's Dennis Kerwin.
Wondermare Lossiemouth won the Champion Hurdle in very impressive fashion, powering up the Cheltenham Hill under Paul Townend to win going away by 6.5 lengths from brighter days ahead, with the new line a half a length away back in third. It was Lossiemouth's fourth consecutive victory at the festival, and she justified Willie Mullins' decision to let her take her chance on the Champion Hurdle rather than the Mayor's Hurdle. Another Willie Mullins mare, Cargese, beat stablemate Copec de Bord in the Arkle Chase by just over 2 lengths at odds of 7-1. Nicky Henderson's Old Park Star landed the opening Supreme Novices Hurdle, while JP McManus had two winners on his 75th birthday with Saratoga and Johnny Who. With Paddy Power News for all your Cheltenham Festival tips, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Moving on to football, Liverpool boss Arne Slot has warned his players they will have to be at their best this evening against Galatasaray in the Champions League. They returned to Turkey for their last 16 first leg to play a team who saw off Juventus 7-5 on aggregate in the playoff round. Slot knows tonight's opponents have already caused them problems.
They were able even to beat Besiktas with 10 men, so that tells you a lot about how the team is fighting, if that is necessary. So they have quality players that can fight, and they have great fans behind them. So, yeah, we need to be so good.
Tottenham will look to put their miserable Premier League form to one side when they face Atletico Madrid in the Spanish capital. And Newcastle host La Liga leaders Barcelona in the first leg. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says tonight's clash is the biggest game in the club's recent history. He wants his players to embrace the moment, soak up the atmosphere and rise to the occasion.
I think it's very much an opportunity to grab a moment that we may never get again. You don't know what life brings. We don't want to waste that opportunity. We've worked to get to this point, so as long as we perform to our maximum, we'll have to accept the result. But we want to try and get as close as we can to our very best.
Also tonight, there are games in the English Championship. Neither of the top two, Coventry and Middlesbrough, in action. Third place Millwall host Derby County, while Ipswich in fourth are at Stoke City. And in the Irish Premiership, Glentoran can move to within 2 points of the leaders, Larne. Glentoran are away to Bangor tonight in one of three matches. Elsewhere, Crusaders play Cliftonville and Linfield will meet Portadown. The Israeli Football Association does not expect supporters to travel to Dublin this autumn. That's according to FAI Chief Executive David Gorrell, who was speaking at the launch of the FAI's 2026-2029 strategy. The Republic of Ireland and Israel are due to play at the Aviva Stadium on the 4th of October. In athletics, Mark English and Kate O'Connor are powered to offer 12-strong contingent selected for the World Indoor Championships later this month. English, a 5-time European medal winner, will go in the 800 metres, while O'Connor will compete in the women's pentathlon. So far this year, English has lowered his own Irish record twice, going 144.23 in Ostrava last month. Letterkenny's Teresa McDade is team manager for the Irish team, and this year's championships are underway in Poland on Friday week, March 20th. Boxing promoter Eddie Hearn has reiterated his commitment to securing Croke Park as the venue for Katie Taylor's farewell fight. The WBC champion announced last month that she would hang up her gloves after one last bout in Dublin this summer. Hearn admits not getting the fight at GA headquarters wouldn't do justice to Taylor's career.
I have to deliver Croke Park. I have to. If I don't try my very hardest to make this a reality, I'm not doing Katie justice and I'm not doing myself justice. Because this would be the greatest sporting event ever in the history of Ireland.
In rugby, England have made just one change to their starting lineup to face France in Saturday's final Six Nations match. Leicester's Ollie Chesham comes in at blindside flanker, with Sam Underhill dropping to the bench for the clash in Paris. Steve Brothwick's men are aiming to avoid their worst ever finish in the Six Nations. And finally, to college basketball. There was disappointment this afternoon for ATU Donegal as they lost out by 9 points, 79-70, to University Ulster Jordanstown at the National Basketball Arena in Talla. That was in the NBCC College's Division 2 League Final. And that's it from the Sports Desk here on Highland for today. We will, of course, be back with more tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. Kitty.
Thanks, Oisin. The United States says the most intense strikes on Iran have been launched since the start of the war. That's despite President Trump suggesting the conflict could end soon. Meanwhile, the US military says it's looking at a range of options if it is tasked with escorting tankers through the Strait of Hormuz. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says the United States will take action if Iran threatens shipping.
But I would reiterate also to add to what the chairman said, the truth the president posted last night about that, saying if Iran does anything to stop the flow of oil within the Strait of Hormuz, they will be hit by the United States of America 20 times harder than they have been hit thus far. He goes on to say death, fire, and fury will rain upon them. You've seen the truth and read it. But he takes very seriously the condition of that strait.
A Midlands Northwest MEP has told the European Parliament farmers, contractors, road hauliers, and households are facing a rapidly escalating cost crisis, and has called for urgent EU and national action to stabilise prices. Speaking in Strasbourg, Ciara Mullooly said the EU's carbon border adjustment mechanism is increasing fertiliser costs for farmers, and now rising oil prices are having a devastating effect. He called for action to address the crisis, including the release of EU oil reserves.
Our farmers, contractors and road hauliers are facing a very serious costs and overheads crisis, which could have really, really, really serious implications. I warned here that the arrival of the CBAM tax at ports would lead to a steady increase in fertiliser costs in Europe, and it has. Some prices are now up to 17% of an increase since January last year. And of course, this week's events in the Middle East have made it worse. They've sent the price of all fuels skyrocketing. Norman Eager from the Farm and Forestry Contractors in Ireland told me today their members' costs are going up every day. One Longford Transport Company owner rang me to say his bills had gone up €3,000 in a week, 10%. Commissioner, we have to do something. We must act on this quickly. We should look at suspending tariffs on fertiliser imports at this stage. And the Commission needs to release some of its EU strategic oil reserves in order to try and stabilise the situation. I also say the Irish Government must suspend carbon taxes for this crisis to try and deal with it. Farmers are not alone either, Commissioner. Households and businesses are under enormous financial pressure. If oil prices continue to rise unchecked, we risk seeing further inflation and serious economic and social consequences.
And now for the weather, becoming dry for most early on tonight as the rain clears eastwards. Clear spells and scattered showers will follow from the west. Low temperatures of 3 to 6 degrees with fresh to strong and gusty southwesterly winds developing, especially about coastal areas. To conclude this evening's bulletin, President Catherine Connolly has been visiting Donegal today. She earlier opened a facility in Killybegs before attending a Donegal County Council function at the County House in Lifford. President Connolly then travelled to Letterkenny for visits to Carrowhouse Family Resource Centre and the Donegal Travellers Project. Her Donegal visit will end tomorrow morning at Ardra Community Childcare Centre. Planning on the N56 was at the top of the agenda at this morning's Galentes Municipal District meeting. A proposal was made by Councillor Brian Carr to have the five Donegal TDs attend a council plenary meeting in a bid to thrash the issue out. This was seconded by Cathaoirleach Michael McClafferty. Meanwhile, elected members of the Galentes Municipal District have agreed to issue a joint letter in support of retaining the Donegal-Dublin midday flight service. While members have previously voiced their concerns individually, the letter will now be issued collectively, bearing the signatures of all six county councillors. The Airlink remains in operation until the end of the month. And finally, action was taken on two Donegal food businesses by the Food Safety Authority last month. One closure order and one prohibition order were issued in February, both of them in Letterkenny. And the full report can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with another update at 7 o'clock.
The obituary notices this Tuesday evening, March 10th. The death has taken place of Cynthia Quigley, niece Stuart, 35 Laurel Drive, Strabane, reposing at her home from 12 noon tomorrow. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmont at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Irene Davidson at McDonald, Will Reen Maharen in Letterkenny, reposing at her late residence. House private, please. Funeral from there tomorrow, going to Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, for service of thanksgiving at 2 o'clock, followed by committal in the Bank Cemetery, Remelton. The funeral service can be viewed on the Trinity Presbyterian Church, Letterkenny Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Cora Freel, Ní Levy, Red Bray, Rathmullen, formerly of Cosh Claddy Bombeg, reposing at her home in Rathmullen today until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 6 o'clock. Removal from there at 6 p.m. going to St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, to arrive at 6:30 for prayers and to repose overnight. Funeral Mass is at 11 a.m. on Thursday, interment afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. The funeral Mass can be viewed via MCN Media. The death has taken place of Thomas Alcorn, Era Ruby Fulcara. His remains are reposing at Gortahork Funeral Premises with viewing today until 8 o'clock. Funeral service tomorrow at 2 o'clock in St Paul's Parish Church, Raymonder Donny Ray. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Kidney Dialysis Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.